11, verse 17 is where I'll start reading. It reads this way: by faith, verse 17, Hebrews 11, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, considering or concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of his sons, or the sons of grandsons, which were the sons of Joseph, and worshiped. Leaning on the top of his staff, by faith Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel from bondage in Egypt, and giving, listen to this, instructions concerning his bones. Father, we bless you, we honor you, we thank you for all the instructions that were given in the past or for now. We thank you, God, for all that you've done to show us that faith will take us to places that doubt and unbelief will never be able to take us. So we believe right now, Spirit of the Living God, as Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come, we are also blessed concerning things to come. And we believe that whatever is released into our lives as a blessing, because we have the faith to believe it, it shall stick and shall manifest fully in every area that God has called. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Somebody shout amen. Before you sit down, my title today is Imitating Faith. Imitating Faith. Imitating Faith. Go ahead and take your seats. Imitating Faith. As I stand here today, and you noticed in the shift conference, especially on Tuesday night, you saw a lot of individuals. Many of them have been raised up under the apostolic anointing on my life, and they've been affirmed by what God has placed on my life. The purpose of that is, especially when it comes to apostles and it comes to bishops, and bishops, if you do any study, they are the descendants of the apostles, and setting them in place, because there's been so much devastation that has taken place to the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Therefore, people come up with all kind of things that doesn't work. So if you really read in the book of Acts, there was always an attack on the doctrine. So the apostles and the bishops, they were raised up to protect the doctrine so the doctrine would work for us. If there is any deviation of truth, the power and the influence of it begins to cease. Hirelings don't like to hear messages like this, don't like to hear this, or self-appointed leaders. Because many times there is no correction of the Holy Spirit if you're not the ones who's supposed to protect the doctrine. So there can be error, and when there's error, it leaves a people in bondage who should be free. Because it's the truth that makes you free. So if there's no truth, there is no freedom. So there has to be truth taught so that people can now go free. Now, everybody doesn't want you free. And some of them look just like you. Some of them worship you, but worship something different than what you worship. Because when the worship is correct, you desire that all men would be free. So you study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth, so that men and women would go free when they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ has its own ability to unlock the chains of bondage from, that has been on men and women from generation to generation. It has the ability to go in. You know, the Bible speaks of it as being a double-edged sword. It has the ability to cut down into those places that other things can't get to. And it can begin to release people and generations of people who have been bound many years by things that they thought were just a part of their nature. So you start to reach into the truth, but you can't find the truth unless you set the order. So Satan's plan is always to alter the order where you never find the truth. Alter the order where you never find truth. You can never find truth when the order is altered. So my responsibility in this earth, I finally realized it as after so many years of pastoring, is to bring more order back so we can get more truth. In the actual organization, if someone deviates from the gospel and starts preaching heresy, then we will call them into council and we will have a meeting with them to ask them, why have you deviated from the truth of God's word? Why are you preaching there is no hell? Why are you preaching there is no heaven? We're in heaven. Anytime they deviate from truth, now we have an organization to where we can bring them in and question their doctrine so we can correct that doctrine so more people don't suffer because of the heresy and the lies that keep them bound. We've heard enough to keep us bound. Now it's time for us to hear the truth. So as we begin to teach and preach on this thing called faith, there is no possibility to have faith without the word of God. Faith in the opinions is not stable. Faith in God's word, that's what brings stability. So what we're seeing here in these portions of scripture that I read from Hebrews 11, verse 17 down to verse 22, what we're seeing is four generations impacted by faith. Four generations impacted by faith. Let me just walk you through this. I may get preachy at the end, may not. You may just get preachy at the end. Because you need to start opening up your mouth and declaring truth over your life. So I'm going to give it the yes, and then you preach after I'm done. Go preach in your house. Go preach in the restaurant. Go preach in the mall. Go preach to your family members. In Genesis 22, Abraham offered Isaac. Based on what we read, this is written in Hebrews, but it's elaborating on Genesis chapter 22. So if you were to go to Genesis chapter 22, you'll read about Abraham offering up Isaac. In Genesis 27, Isaac blesses Jacob and Esau. You can read that in Genesis 27. So everything I read out of Hebrews 11, verse 17 through verse 22, it's written over in the book of Genesis. So you can read the story in its entirety. So Genesis 27, Isaac, he blesses Jacob and Esau. We understand that Jacob gets the heavier blessing. So a lesser blessing is reserved for Esau. And I was trying to wonder, why did he get a lesser blessing? Because the one who really acts like a son gets the first blessing. All right. I don't want leftover, so I'm going to get the first blessing. In Genesis 48, Jacob blesses Joseph's sons. So Joseph brings his son, Manasseh and Ephraim, to Jacob and asks Jacob to release that blessing. All this stuff is done by faith. So Jacob crosses his hands because he's now a little bit blind. He crosses his hand and he lays his right hand on the one who should be last. And he lays his left hand on the one that should be first. Because he was last and he became first. So he thought that way. So you can read that story as well in Genesis 48. Then you get into Genesis 50 and you read where Joseph is now instructing them on when they come out of bondage. He gave them instructions on concerning his bones. He said, when y'all leave here, you're going to leave here. And this is what you got to understand. No matter how long you've been there, faith's going to bring you out. No matter how long you've been there, don't learn to cope with a place of bondage, because no matter how long you've been there, you're going to come out. So here it is. Now he gives them instructions of when they come out. This is what I want you to do. I want you to take my bones, my skeleton with you. Don't leave my skeleton in bondage and you leave out in freedom. So you see what I read out of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 through verse 22. You see these things worked out from Genesis 22 all the way up into Genesis 50. Now I want to read Hebrews 13 to you, verse 7 and 8. Now stay with me here, because you're going to do the preaching after I'm done. So in Hebrews 13, verse 7 and verse 8, it reads this way. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith you do what? Follow. Considering the outcome of their conduct, how things finished out with them. Verse 8, what we quote all the time in the church, if we've been in church any time, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, I want to read something else to you, then I'm going to come back to Romans 14, because this is very important. I want you to capture this. My wife and I, everything that you see and the things that you don't see, some things we don't let you see, because some people ain't got enough faith to see it. They think something's wrong if you have it. So some things you don't see because you ain't ready yet. But then there are certain things we can't hide because it's so big. But all this stuff came from just believing what the word of God said more than the house we were raised in. See, I want to overrule how you were raised with faith. Because the way I was raised said no, but my Bible and faith says yes. So I believe my Bible more than I believe the way I was raised. In fact, I want to divorce you from the way you were raised so that you can operate effectively where God wants you to be. And whatever's going on in your life right now that's not bringing pleasure to your life, I want to cancel it out by faith right now, because it's in violation now, because in this room we're filled with faith, and no weapon formed against your belief system shall be able to prosper. So based on what I read out of Hebrews 13, verse 7 and 8, I want to read the commentary out of Holman commentary, the New Testament commentary on Hebrews 13 and verse 7. It says this: committed believers are to imitate the faith of their spiritual leader and avoid unchristian doctrine. Let me tell you what's messing with your stuff. It's the unchristian doctrine. There's a Christian doctrine. There's an unchristian doctrine. So committed believers are to imitate the faith of their spiritual leader and avoid unchristian doctrine. This chapter contains three references to leaders of the church. The reference in this verse appears to be the leader who has completed his service in the congregation and had died. So he's done all the work that he's going to do in the earth. He's now at home to be with the Lord, but his works will continue to speak for him. So you got to look back at what those people done who were very successful, that what they said came to pass. I remember a man years ago, he says, I have a dream. He said, I may not get there with you, but he promised us that we would make it to the other side. So some of us are living in the dream of a man that didn't live to be 40 years old. His faith was enough, even though he was about to die the next day. His faith was enough to get us into the place to where we are now. Yeah, stay with me. The readers were to reflect on both the words and the deeds of these former leaders from beginning to end and imitate their faith. Don't sound like them. Imitate their faith. Don't hoop like them. Try to imitate their faith. Don't dress like them. Imitate their faith. See, so many times when we talk about imitating, people tell you you sound like apostle, but if you don't have faith, you nothing like the apostle. Because it's not just a sound, because there's action that goes behind my faith. Study your spiritual reflections on the life of a committed believer, if you study yourself on it, and the teachings of the lessons of faith, commitment, and priority. So when you reflect on those leaders, it's going to help your faith. It is going to increase your commitment, and it's going to help you in your priorities. So he wants us to imitate. Lady Davis will tell you, I'm not slothful. She tells me you need to sit down somewhere. You're doing too much. She tells me this is Saturday. Why are you up so early? My schedule, you always got a schedule. Won't you stop? Won't you slow down? Why you got a schedule on our off day? Because I understand through faith, if I put something together, God's going to make it happen. So I'm a planner. I'm strategic. I don't waste my time. Don't waste my energy. I am committed. I understand my priorities. I'm not going to come to church and try to lead you, and I can't lead my wife. Excuse me. Let me back up just a little bit. So I have to make sure my household is intact so that I can come and demonstrate my faith in this house. But if I have no faith for my house, how am I going to have faith for this house? So I have to step back and say, okay, Lady Davis, you okay? Sasha, you okay? And if they are okay, and Sugar Bear and Jack is okay, that's the dog and the cat, then I can come in here and use the faith that I structure that with, and I structure this with that same faith. But if all of that is in shambles, how can I repeat faith over here and I don't have enough practice in faith over there? Whatever is happening over here, the same mind, the same belief system comes here. So now my priorities are together. So I'm making sure Lady Davis is good before I make sure you're good. Because if she's not good, you see her, she can be contagious to you. And those who are not practicing faith, they're contagious in fear. All right. Y'all want me to slow down? Slow down. Because this is very important, because if you're following the faith of an individual, and he gives us an individual to follow their faith, then it's going to begin to impact the lives of those people in these ways. It's going to impact their faith. It's going to increase their commitment. It's going to increase their priorities, or help them in their priorities. You know, my commitment caused me to be criticized. You're not committed until you get criticized for your commitment. But it was my faith that caused me to be that committed. Now, I got to make up my mind, because everybody has someone that they can follow. But everyone you follow doesn't have faith. So if you have projects that you're trying to accomplish and you're following someone that doesn't have faith, then your projects are now being jeopardized because you're following someone that's got a big mouth and they're intelligent, but they don't have faith. Okay. Excuse me, big mouth stuff. That means talk a lot. So this verse of scripture is helping us to stop criticizing those who have faith and start paying attention to them, because what be on them wants to be on us. Let me take you to me. Okay. If you would have told me 26 years ago that I would be standing on this platform looking out there at you and the number of streamers right now, it would have been hard for me to believe it. The reason it would have been hard for me to believe it is I didn't have the history in my life that says I could do it. But I had a Bible, and then when I begin to get around or get access to the room where faith was being used, and walk through the process of seeing a man outgrow a church and then build a major complex, got a chance to see that up close and personal. And you know, a person of our color is not that easy to get access to the funds to do things like that. So I had to use my faith that they would be colorblind when they were having a meeting with me. But seeing that calls me faith, because I understand I am following his faith.
because I want to know how you do what you do. Now God graduates me, and I promise you, you don't have to leave me. If my faith is less than what you need, you'll graduate from me. So I graduated from the other faith because what God wanted to do was bigger than what I saw. So God has this way of maneuvering you, and don't go and get mad and start a fight. Just go have a meeting and say, well, the Lord has spoken to me, and he has these things he wants to do. And I don't know if you want to believe for that kind of a response from God. So I need somebody in my life that can believe for more than a shed, because God has called me to live in a mansion. See, let me just walk this out. See, some of you got these big dreams, but you're hanging out with faithless people. All okay? So that spiritual leader, and talking about the church right now, that spiritual leader has to carry a level of faith. Not only does he say what God said, he is now seeing what God said. He said it, God performed it. It's supposed to work that way. It's what faith is. You saying it and never seeing God perform it, over a period of time, you may have to check your doctrine. Can we go on? All right, Romans 14. Now, everybody's prophesying now. Everybody's got titles now. Like, you what? I'm like, I never saw that in you. And I will never endorse that in you, because that ain't in you. You had a bad dream, but that's not in you. So you have all these people who are matriculating out, unauthorized. Words, no accountability. And because of that, people are getting doctrine that doesn't line up with the Bible. All right, Romans 14, verse 23. Y'all still with me? Thank y'all for being a good class. I'd hate to be a teacher with no students. This is out of the New King James, then we'll go to the Amplified Bible. Romans 14, verse 23. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not faith, from faith, is sin. Whatever is not from faith is sin. I thought sleeping around was sin. Whatever is not from faith is sin. Now let's go to the Amplified Bible. Let's go to the Amplified Bible. Y'all stay with me. I never go to a room I can't believe in. I never go to a room that I can't believe the message. Never go to a room I can't believe in the speaker. Listen to this. Verse 23, Amplified Bible, Romans 14. But he who is uncertain about, and he's got in the brackets, about eating a particular thing is condemned if he eats, because he is not acting from faith. Whatever is not from faith is sin. Whatever is done with doubt is sinful. Yeah. Now, I can do all this, but never believe in it. And if I don't believe in what I'm doing, then I won't reap the fruit of what I'm doing. Now, I promise you, there's some people out here doing but not believing in what they're doing. So just like faith is contagious, fear is contagious too. If I'm doing it because I'm afraid that I can't get the career I want, so I decide that I'm a pastor because I know some people out there that'll listen if I just say it just right, and I become a professional preacher or a professional teacher, then I've categorized myself as one that people will listen to but never be able to obtain the faith that they need in order to do what God wants them to do in their lives. So hundreds of people, if not thousands of people, are listening to me right now. So if they're listening to me right now, I'm responsible for building faith in every one of those individuals' life. But there's a responsibility that they have as well. They have a responsibility for believing what I'm preaching so that what I'm preaching can occur in their lives. Let me help you. All that God wants to birth in the earth is held up by doubters and unbelievers. This never could have happened until I started believing it. He didn't say shout about it. I got accused years ago for not believing in praise. Because this is what I've done. I said, sit down until y'all start getting results. So I've already been accused of that years ago. Because I came out of some of the churches that back then, they believed in praising and they believed in dancing, but I believed in getting results. I'll praise, I'll dance, but I want some results. I got my daughter watching me, and I don't want her to see me dance till my knees go out and never get results. I want to see results, so I got to have the truth because I got some results. I need some results. I can't keep getting people to follow me because I got a preacher's voice. I need some results. So I was so determined that I'm going to get results. Let's get our priorities together. We need to see something, too, not just shout about it, because you come in crying, I get you emotion, you walk out laughing and walk right back to that empty situation. So I'm not going to waste your time. I know this stuff works. Lady Davis knows this stuff works. And it doesn't matter where you are in life. If you start imitating the same faith, it'll start opening up avenues for you that you didn't feel like you were qualified for. It'll start opening up heaven over your life and you didn't know that God could be that good to you. It'll start bringing favor on you and you're wondering why they like you. It'll start bringing resources and you didn't even know what your assignment was. And he'll bring resources and then tell you what your assignment is. He'll start navigating people towards your way. And you wonder why they're coming, because you're always expecting somebody to come and do harm. But when God starts working through faith, there's some people that's coming to give and not take from you. You got to get your faith together or you're going to miss somebody that God has designated to come and bring you a blessing. And you think the ravens came to eat you up? No, they came to drop you a meal.
I can't afford in this season. I'm believing for too much in this season. I'm trusting God for too much in this season to not be around somebody that when they speak, I start to imitate them. I know some got a problem with Bishop T.D. Jakes in my life, but I can look at his time where he is and I can see my future. And I can say when I look there, all things are possible. If you can just believe, you just need something to look at. And God didn't raise myself and Lady Davis up so you can talk about us. God raised us up so you can join us. So, okay. Take your business. We started out with 23 people in a borrowed building. Now we have thousands in a paid off building. You think God don't want to be good to you, but it was our faith when we had nothing that brought us into something. I just felt an upgrade. I just felt somebody just went to another dimension, because what happens in the ministry will happen in your business if you just believe that you receive it. It's the same faith. We turn our faith off when we go out of church. No, turn your faith on. Turn it up really high when you leave out. Because if God can do it for us and all these people running around, I had a guy just call me right after the shift conference. And he said, Apostle, I need to talk to you. I said, okay, what do you want to talk about? He said, the Lord spoke to me and he said, I'm supposed to become a refresh church. So there's another church in Atlanta that said, I'm supposed to become a refresh church. We've had no conversation, but the faith in me, because I submitted and I changed my name. Now all over the country and all over the world, people want it. That's what faith does. I'm telling you, that's what faith does. We didn't initiate anything. He said, I've already talked to my wife. I already discussed it with my family. As soon as I get back to Atlanta, I'm going to initiate it. There's going to be another refresh in Atlanta. See, you can keep looking if you want to, but God's got a franchise that he wants to release to your little old business right now. And if you catch this faith, God will explode in your life. Excuse me. Why they criticizing him? What is he doing now? I'm just being me. You say, I don't want to be like that. Go ahead. There's a lot of people who do want to be like this. Let me get into my points now. For four generations, faith was imitated and rewarded. Abraham, faith. Isaac, faith. Jacob, faith. Joseph, faith. They all four believed, and they all four were rewarded. So many people say, well, let me get myself together. No, just come and believe. Just come and believe. Just come and just relax when I'm preaching. Don't put your walls up. Just come and relax and watch what be on me get on you. See, you're struggling with a doctrine. Some of you have been taught things that wasn't productive for where you were going. I was telling them while we were driving to Montgomery, that's where I got a lot of my training and education down in Montgomery, and we were down that way on yesterday, and while we were headed that way on yesterday, I can remember what they taught me. They told me the church that we had, well, they told all of us, you possibly won't grow past 100 people. Yeah, that's what they told me. They said that you probably never grow past 100 people. And then they told me, they said, yeah, you told us. And I thought they were talking to me, but I wasn't listening. They said, don't worry about going on television because you'll never have the personality to be on television. You may be able to do a little radio, but right now you just need to cultivate these less than 100 people that you're going to have. This is what we were told. And I'm pretty sure you've been around some people who didn't have faith. This is an entire organization with 50 pastors sitting in the room, and they told us we would not grow past 100. I'm pretty sure you're sitting under something that doesn't have the ability to believe that you can be better than what you are right now. That's why I'm saying you need to listen to me, because they told me what I couldn't be. But when I got faith, when I saw in the Word of God and I got around some other people that were doing more than what they said I would do. People are always putting restraints on you when they don't believe. Aren't you glad I didn't believe what they said? I want to release you today. Whatever restrictions that were placed on your life, I decree and declare through faith and the blessing, it is broken now in the name of Jesus. So for four generations. See, y'all think I'm trying to start something for my generation. No, I believe four generations after I'm gone.
There will be some people that get this thing so down in their being and it's so contagious. And when they have their children or the children they already have, they'll start decreeing and declaring over them that they be people of faith, that they will lead, that they receive, and there will be no restrictions over their lives, and nothing can happen to stop them from entering into God's best for their lives.
So I was riding through Montgomery, going through Prattville. I said, how you like me now? I know you're watching me.
I told you the best way to silence your critics, get in faith and succeed. Get the reward that faith brings to your life. Don't spend your time and your energy talking to them and talking about them. Get in faith and let the reward come to your life. I promise you it's coming. Listen to this. We should never forget our leaders who rule and have and spoke God's word. We should never forget them because it was what I heard from my leader. When he spoke over me, I forgot that I was disabled. Let me tell you, when he spoke over me, I forgot that I came from Bradford. I forgot that I was raised in a single parent household. I forgot how they mistreated me when I was a little boy on the school bus. I forgot how they devalued me. I forgot all that, and I latched into what he said about me, and what he said about me was strong enough, if I believed it, to break through all the criticism of my childhood, all the things that I went through in my childhood. I just broke through. I can't say that I went to a deliverance service, but I can say I had a faith service.
We should never forget our leaders who ruled and spoke God's word. Certain things happen when you hear certain things from people. It's almost like many of you are in here, but it's like we're having a conversation right now. And that's what it's like when the word of God is being taught correctly. It's like we're sitting at the table with a cup of tea and I'm just sharing with you what God can do for you. If you just follow this, I believe God can bring you out of any generational curse, any criticism, any lies, any hypocrisy of the devil. That's what it's like, because I was sitting there and I'm like, he's talking to me, Lady Davis. He's talking to me. Yeah, I'm talking to you. I am talking to you, and I'm telling you, you're the one.
Listen. Don't forget me. I'm speaking over you. You don't have to say it, my name every time. But don't forget the fact that something I said unlock your destiny. Something I said made you think I can do all things through Christ who give me the strength and the ability. Something that I said, you made you think I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. Something I said made you feel like the devil may come against me one way, but he's got to flee before me in seven different ways. Something I said, 1,000 may fall at that side and 10,000 out that right hand, but it shall not come nigh me.
Have to imitate our leader's faith to gain a similar outcome. You want a similar outcome? You practice their faith. You want a similar outcome. I was blown away when my leader, who was alive at that time, came here. He said, when I come into this place, it reminds me of Snap Finger Road. Because on Snap Finger Road, it was set up like this. That tells me that my faith was working. Now my end result is similar to what he had. Now I said, okay, now I got to find out how to get access to the rest of it. I finally went to his house, and when I went to his house, it was almost like driving up to something similar to my house. It was just on a larger scale. What he had, I had. But his was on a larger scale. Now teach me how to get to that level of faith where I can have all of that. Because see, if you serve well and you pay attention, there are no limits on your life.
life. I believe God wants to I feel it strong in there. I believe God wants to release something on you. Because see, you really didn't know my journey. You really don't know my story. But my story is a life of faith, believing that whatever my leader said, what be on him, be on me. And I'm trying to get something on you. I know you're trying to pull me down to the third grade, but don't you let me just stay in the university for a little while, because that's where your future is. And not just the university. Let's go a little bit higher than that. All those wealthy people don't have nothing on you. Let's just get bleed for all things to be possible for those who believe.
Because Jesus is the same, imitating our leader's faith. It's the leader's faith. You're imitating the leader's faith. So if Jesus is the same, and us imitating our leader's faith is a forever practice. Jesus is forever. So you think he's going to remove the practice from the church of imitating the leader's faith? I can understand not wanting to imitate the leaders of faith if he's a failure. But I can't understand not wanting to imitate the leader's faith when you can't see failure going on around them. Now let's get you delivered from your church mind and get you into your kingdom mind. Because it was when I stopped thinking churchy, I started thinking kingdom, and I started thinking, hey, when I didn't have good shoes, I was still royalty. So if we get you in faith, and don't do your children a disservice by thinking like a peasant when you are a king. No, because when you have faith, you can obtain what God has for you. Some of y'all been waiting half of your life to hear the message that I'm preaching right now, because you're supposed to imitate that faith. I looked at $3 million on this building and said, God is able. Listen, I'm sitting at the table. They said $3 million. I said, we'll take it. I'm young. I don't know no better. And Shannon's with me. He's so high, he don't know no different. I said, we'll take it. How are we going to get $3 million? We really don't know. But we got enough faith to believe that we receive. So things start working. They said, we'll do this for you and we'll do that for you. And I'm saying, y'all act like y'all really want me up in here. And they did. Because when faith kicks in, the people that would throw you out want you to come in. So I'm looking at that $3 million and I'm saying, God, only you can make this happen. Only you can get this started. But I'm gonna make a note of it. Well, if you get it started, you gotta finish it. Because I'm not gonna sign a contract with $3 million if you're not gonna pay it off. And the same God, yesterday, today, and forever. But $3 million on the signing day, all in the middle, and at the end of payoff, God was faithful.
Can't pay booth rent. We got to get touch your neighbor, tell them we got to get rid of this unbelief. See, I'm just trying to get something on you, And guess what? In every payment, never was payment of stress. Never was a payment ever stressful. Never. My bookkeeper never had to call me and say, I don't know what we're going to do this month. Never. No. See, that faith, because God knew, I don't need all that on me. I got work to do. You take care of that, I'll take care of this. I stay faithful and God remains faithful. You have faith enough to stay with your project. God has enough faith to make sure everything else is taken care of. So you may not appreciate the building.
Every time I pull up, I start shouting, especially because it's paid off.
In order for it to be paid off, there has to be some kind of faith that says, God, they're not going to repo it. They're not going to come in and cancel a mortgage on it. They're not going to. And if you're in a house like that, that means you're all faith is everywhere around you right now. Faith is on the pews. They may not be as clean as I want them to be, but faith is on the pews. Faith is on the doors. When you touch the door, every now and then, you need to tell the usher, let me open the door for myself. See, when y'all come in here, I can feel greatness on you. When you come in here, I feel like God wants to open up heaven over your life. And I said, God, how do I get them to that place? He said, teach them what you've been taught. Teach them to walk down the road of faith that you walk down. And if they walk down the same road, they get the same results. How many of y'all want results? If you want results, baby, I can tell you, I know the way to get some results. I know the way that you will get, God will do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. Let me tell you, not only did he pay it off, he paid it off early. Somebody say, won't he do it? Never hate on us ever again. Join us. Touch your neighbor. Tell them, let's join up with this. Let's not hate on it.
You don't want to eat this in doubt. You want to eat this in faith and believing. Because see, something happened to me some years ago. Years ago. And I hadn't even attempted to shed it off. People thought I was crazy. They still think I'm crazy. But it's all right. I ain't begging nobody for nothing. I've done shift conferences starting. It started in 2019, and I have not charged a fee since it started, and the budget is always met. Don't you tell me, God. I'm telling y'all. See, some of y'all worried about stuff you should not be worried about. You keep things lined up, and God will show up.
Eat the word of faith and avoid the sin that doubt brings. See, when you're eating a faith, what you're doing is you're warding doubt off, because doubt has to do with sin. God would want to take them into a great place. They have been out there in the wilderness 40 years. God's ready to take them in. God's ready to take the stress off of them. But he can't take them in because they won't believe. So he said, I cannot take you in because you have an evil heart of unbelief. Doubt, too much doubt is in your heart. See, out here, I'm feeding you. But over there, you have to work it and you have to believe it over there. And there's some people over there that's got your stuff. You can't get over there and start doubting me. You got to walk in tremendous faith when you get over there. And when they start saying things to you, you got to be just as bold as they are. I am in the kingdom of God, and I came to get what God has promised me, and there's nothing you can say because God has already said it's mine, so you might as well get out of my way because I came to get it.
Let me go just a little bit further, because they wanted me in so bad. So the bank said, well, we can't give you $3 million. We can give you $2.4 million. I take it. I can give you.
So those of you who think the books are not in order, that the bank is not going to give you $2.4 million with the books not being in order. So they said, we'll give you $2.4 million. So I said, okay. I set up another meeting with the church that was existing here. And I came to the church and I brought a few of my team with me. And we sitting in the conference room and I said, listen here. The bank has approved $2.4 million. You want $3 million for the building. I said, you're going to have to work with us. They said, we'll hold the $600,000. I said, well, wait a minute. I have a building that needs to sell. They said, we will purchase your building and hold your $600,000. See, it's mine. See, it's mine. I know it's mine down on the inside. See, even when you have to go through certain things and certain meetings, you got to know down on the inside of yourself, this is mine. This is mine. They're going to work with me. In some kind of way, they're going to work with me. See, because I'm a strategic thinker, most of you don't think I am, but I'm a strategic thinker. I said, this is the deal. I said, we will put, I think it was, what was it? Was it $150,000? We'll give you $150,000 to start this process off. And then we'll pay you $50,000 each month to pay you off in the same year that you're holding the mortgage. On the last payment. Yeah, that's what I'm getting to. So we're rolling down and everything's going good. Then you know, we got to, in every church, you get a little confusion. So things start backing off just a bit. Don't be messy in this church. I have to come get you. I won't come get you if you ain't messy. But if you messy, I'll come get you. So we're getting closer. And this is the last payment. This is the last payment. And now we're not just operating on the $50,000 that we're paying each month, because that's other than what our regular budget is for the month. So we're getting close now to the last. And I don't see my $50,000. Yeah. Regular budget is flowing fine, but I don't see my $50,000. See, normally a pastor would come and start begging the church. I said, hold on, I need to go to the ocean. So I went down to Gulf Shores so I could hear from God. So I'm down on the beach. My bookkeeper calls me. Said, I found the rest of the money. I said, you found the rest of the money. I said, what do you mean you found the rest of the money? See, I'm a man of faith. I'm a man of faith. I got to tell you my story, because my story is possible. It's powerful. She said, I found the rest of the money. I said, how'd you find the rest of the money? She said, you remember the old Refiner's House account? I said, yes. She said, when you changed the name from Refiner's House to Newburgh, you left the money in the account of Refiner's House. So all we done, I said, take it out now, shift it over, go pay them the last payment. By the time I got back to Birmingham, if you really have faith, you will find money where you didn't even thought it would be. I said, I need, after we paid it off, I said, I need one of your representatives to come to my church and tell them what has occurred. So he came and he told them what has occurred. And he said, no ministry in the history of the area have ever paid off a building that early. They've never been able to meet their requirements. But when you maintain your faith, you will exceed the requirements. And I'm just telling you, while you're hating on me, you're missing out on what God has for you. Because what be on me, be on you. And since this building is debt free, I believe your home, I don't care if you just got closed on it. And you think I'm going to doubt God now? You think I'm going to become a coward now? He took a country boy and showed out. All God needs is somebody to believe him, trust him. I got labeled as being mean. Not mean. I'm just protecting the investment. I'm just protecting the investments. You know, you after you've gone this far, you want me to be in the pole house? No. I'm just protecting the investment. Even Abraham, his faith said, I'm going to run the vultures away. So anytime vultures will come around, I'll bring out my rod. I'm not swinging at you. I'm swinging at the vultures. Because some want to eat where it's not welcome to eat. And they don't understand what we do. But we're people of faith. We believe God. We trust God. God has been faithful. And he's not just faithful to myself and Lady David. God wants to be faithful to you. So if he sent you here, he sent you here to believe that you can receive. Give God a shout of praise right there. Look at your neighbor, tell him, I'm in faith, I'm not worried. 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 What be on my apostle, be on me. I want that anointing on my life to believe that God is able to do anything but fail. He will come through. I said he will come through. I said he will come through. Those of you who are on the borderline of being embarrassed, I came to tell you today, God is not going to allow you to be embarrassed. Isaiah 61 verse 7, and let instead of shame, he is going to give you double honor. I gotta go. I gotta go. I ain't never meant no harm towards anybody, but I just got too much invested in my faith. And I know people don't believe like I believe, but that's fine. Just don't be close to me if you don't believe. I need believers around me. I don't know what I'm going to have to do next, and I need somebody to believe with me. I don't need anybody criticizing me. I don't need anybody talking down on me, because I don't know what's next. Because God, if you're faithful with one thing, God will give you something else. And here it is, refresh. I don't know how big the next thing is. And some of y'all, there were many times in this church, on 5 days out of a week, I would come get on this microphone in an empty church and decree and declare what I knew God had said to me. I turn the sound system on just like it is now. And I walk up and down every pew all in the balcony and decreeing and declaring what God has said to me. And it came to pass. It came to pass. What you put in the atmosphere in faith, doubt can never kill it. I said, what you put in the atmosphere in faith, doubt can never kill it. So I stand here today as a humble man, trusting in the Almighty God. Because I've seen things in my lifetime my mom and my dad never saw. But I chose to believe that God was able to do anything but fail. I pray over these next few weeks and months that the faith that he placed in me will be so contagious that you would never say no to the project that God gave you. Because if he gave you that project, he is going to back that project. He is going to oversee that project. He is going to support that project. He is going to see you through whatever that is, because you believed and you trusted in him.
Hey, If you're ever in the Birmingham area, we'd love to see you. Stop by, because everyone is welcome at Refresh Family Church. It's full of friendly people, a warm atmosphere, and a powerful word. Our service times are Sundays at 9 a.m. or our empowerment service on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We're located at 117 12th Court Northwest in Birmingham, Alabama. We'll see you soon at Refresh. Want to find out more about Apostle Stephen A. Davis? Well, log on, because StephenADavis.org is now live. That's right, log on to StephenADavis.org now and you can find out all about him. Watch live broadcasts and get all the information you need at StephenADavis.org. Available on all platforms. Log on today. Refresh Family Church. As we worship together, remember our five goals: serving the needs of families, reaching the lost, equipping the saints, reaching the nations, and transferring to generations. At Refresh Family Church, we're more than just a church. We're a nation. To find out more, log on to StephenADavis.org. We'll see you next time.